Let's look at Revelation chapter 5, beginning at verse 9. Revelation chapter 5, beginning at verse 9. I'll read through the end of the chapter. And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof. But thou wast slain, hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. And has made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. And I beheld, and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, and the beast, and the elders. And the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000, and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea, all that are in them, heard I saying, Blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb forever and ever. And the four beasts said, Amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worshipped him that liveth forever and ever. Let's pray. Father, bless your word tonight. Open our minds to it and open each heart that's here. We pray, God, that you'd use it to bring glory to the name of Jesus Christ and give us eyes of understanding that see clearly that which you have for us and that which you're about to do. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I believe the last time that we taught, we got down to about verse 8 and finished through verse 8. We've seen the Lamb. We've seen this book with seven seals. We've seen the Lamb take it and open the book and looks on it. He's the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Not only the Lamb of God, he's the Lion of the tribe of Judah. He's the Root of David. And he's taken the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. And when he took the book, the 24, the four beasts and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb with their harps, their golden vials or bowls full of odors. And the odors are the prayers of the saints. And these prayers have been offered up. You know, so many times you may think sometimes when you don't see the direct answer of prayer that you prayed for. And so you don't always see all of them. You don't. Sometimes you may wait 20 years before God answers a prayer. And there may be some things that you just don't think God's ever going to get around to. I've thought many a time about some godly Israelites when they were first enslaved or realized they were enslaved. As best I understand it, Abraham placed himself and his generations in slavery the minute he took Hagar. About the best I can understand it right there is where Abraham made a big mistake and placed himself in slavery to Egypt. But at any rate, when those Israelites, Jacob and his children, coming down there and living in Egypt, when they realized this new king had put them in slavery, you know, and that they were no longer their own, but they belonged to someone else, I wonder how many of them begin to pray for deliverance. How many of them begin to cry and say, Oh Lord, what in the world is wrong? Things aren't right. How many times have people cried for revival and not seen revival? How many times during the Dark Ages, what we call the Dark Ages, 500 to 1500, how many godly men tried to put the Word of God out to people and were burned at the stake and tortured and all sorts of things happened to them. They opened up prayers. God's got every one of them. God's got every one of them. They're an odor of a sweet sacrifice and a sweet smell. Amen. They're praise, incense going up before the throne of God. Sometimes whenever your heart's broken, you know how you get the perfume out of the flower? You crush the petal. You crush the petal. That's exactly sometimes the things that happen to you. So many things happen to us. Trial, trouble, affliction, persecution, difficulty, sickness, all sorts of things come our way. And our reaction to it, and our prayers to God, and our praise to God in the midst of it is a sweet sacrifice of praise and prayer. And those prayers go up before God Almighty. That's the reason why God tells us in Luke 11, you ought to continue praying, Luke 11, 1 through 13, Luke 18, 1 through 8, two tremendous passages on us to pray. Men are always to pray and not to faint. Well, now, what's he talking about? He's talking about a fellow about faint. He's talking about somebody that's weak. They've just gone as far as they can go. They can't go any further. And he says, men are always to pray, Luke 18, 1, and not to faint. He gives us the reasons why, and so on. But these prayers that go up out of crushed and broken hearts, broken and contrite spirits, and heavy, heavy-hearted people. And some people that groan for the church of God, people that have a ministry and reach out. There's many a godly man and many a godly woman that wants to see the work of God go forward. Oh, how they're burdened at the oppression of the enemy, how they're burdened at the defeat of Christians, how they're burdened at the lack of ministry and at the lack of power and at the lack of a feeding of the Word of God wherever they may be. And they cry to the Lord. Oh, I think of people under communism and behind tremendous, horrible regimes and slavery, prisons, and utter abuse, maybe just for the name of Jesus. Just simply because they wouldn't reject it, wouldn't turn it back on it. There are many Christians in Russia. There are many Christians in China. There are many Christians in Africa. There are many Christians today in Latin America that are in jails. That are in jail, they're in prison. I knew missionaries that have suffered years in prison simply because a new regime took over and all of a sudden slapped them all in jail and stuff like this. You know, things like this happen. What about it? Does God look? Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Does God see? Yes, He does. I'll tell you what. Every time you get out on your knees with a broken heart in prayer, every time you get out on your knees and you lift up praise to God, God may not open your prison cells as He did Paul and Silas's in Philadelphia. He doesn't open everybody's prison cells. He doesn't deliver everybody from the fire as He did the children. He doesn't give every widow all the oil she needs to pay all of her bills. No, not every one of them. Jesus said there's many widows in that day. Elijah's only sent to one. Not everyone. But oh, I'll tell you what. God takes notice of everyone. God doesn't overlook a single one. Not a thing goes beyond Him. He's got all those tears in His bottle. He's got all those prayers in His bowl. And they're incense up before the throne of God. And your reaction to that which takes place in this life and the broken heart that you have, or you can look throughout the Old Testament and God says, go through the city and set a mark on every man that sighs for the sins of the land. And cries. God Almighty is looking in, and those prayers that are going up as praise and as going up as request and desire for God to do work, for God to come down, for God to give them power or victory or deliverance or whatever else it might be. God Almighty doesn't miss one of them. The prayers of the saints. Golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. God is a prayer-answering God. From Genesis to Revelation, God is a prayer-answering God. God hears those prayers and God wants you to pray. So many times we think about it, you know, well, why in the world pray? God knows what we need before we ever ask. Why pray? Because He said so. That's why I pray. Exactly. You don't need any other reason. Then God said to pray. Then pray. And God Almighty takes pleasure in our prayers. He really does. And that's beautiful. Now verse 9, they sung a new song. Here's the new song. Thou art worthy to take the book. Praise God, Jesus is worthy. That's a good subject for a song, if I can think of any. You know, Jesus is worthy. That's a good subject for a song. You know, I hear a lot of songs today. Rock, 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 shark, shark, all this other garbage, garbage in, garbage out. They sing about everything under the sun. They sing about their divorce. You know, I got so sick and tired of Western music when I was growing up. Now, I wasn't a kicker. I wore boots and a hat, but I wasn't a kicker. You know what I mean? But I tell you what, some of that Western music crying their beer over losing their gal to somebody else, that used to just drive me up the wall. I say, oh, somebody turn that thing off. And I'll go to the lake somewhere. Now, when I decide to get away with my family, I don't really want anybody with me. I'm with people all the time. So when I decide to get away, I thought I would get away. And I'll get out to the lake, and you know, I'm away from the noise, I'm away from the telephone, away from everything else. And there's four kids pop up right beside me with their radio on. Rock, 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 and shark, shark, and all the other garbage, you know. Crying in my beer over you know. All of this stuff like that. Man! What a subject for music! What a subject for song! What does it say about Jesus?
Amen.
Oh, I'll tell you what. Now, that lifts my heart a little bit if they sing about Jesus. Amen. All this garbage I hear doesn't lift me at all. There's a worthy subject. Jesus is worthy. They sang a new song. It's a new song for this earth, I'll tell you. Saying, thou art worthy to take the book. It's a heavenly song, by the way. And to open the vials there from chapter 4, verse 1 to chapter 5, we're in heaven. We get to chapter 6, we're going to drop back down to the earth again. But at any rate, they're in heaven singing a heavenly song of praise to God. Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof. You know, nobody else could open those seals.
Nobody.
Woo! Nobody! Jesus only! I like Jesus only. Nobody could take that.
Thank you, Lord.
I'll tell you what. Worthy! Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof. But I was slain. Yes, sir, brother. He was slain. He was slain by men, but God Almighty working in that whole thing brings forth glory. That doesn't relieve them of their responsibility, taking Barabbas and turning back. No, not at all. But praise God for the death of Jesus. I had a lot of problems when I was first a Christian on that thing. You know, you'd think about, well, boy, isn't it a horrible thing, the death of Christ? You're trying, no, if he didn't die, well, where would I be? Boy, and you begin to look at it two different ways, and you say, well, yes, it is a horrible thing. That tells you how much God hated sin. And isn't it awful that men were so sinful they crucified an innocent, perfect man? They'd do it again if it came today.
That's right.
The church people would be the first one crying for it if it came today. And if John the Baptist were walking the streets, we'd stone him, put him in jail too, probably. There might be a few people who want to hang on to him, but most fundamental churches wouldn't even want him preaching. He's too tough. Just absolutely too tough. Too hard-headed. Couldn't bend. But at any rate, they opened the seals there, but I was slain. Praise God for the death of Christ. Because not only was he slain, but he has, past tense, redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred, tongue, people, and nation. Now, who are those people that are there? That 24 elders sitting around about that throne with those four beasts, cherubim or seraphim, as they're there, they represent all redeemed humanity. They're not just the Jews. Out of every kindred, tongue, people, and nation. That's what they sing. And hath made us unto our God kings and priests. And you know, here's one that really a lot of amillennialists are going to have to do something with. And we shall reign on the earth. That's future. We shall reign on the earth. Now, if you'll remember, if you look in your Bibles to Matthew 6:10, you'll find Jesus told the people there under the old dispensation how to pray. And he told them to pray, thy kingdom come. They were praying for a kingdom to come. Well, you and I can pray the same thing. I pray that, Lord, let your kingdom come. Because the rapture is going to come ahead of it. Praise God, I'm going out. Through the clouds and not the clouds. Praise the Lord. You know what? He's made us unto our God kings and priests. I'm a king.
Amen.
And I'm a priest.
Amen.
I'm going to reign with Jesus Christ. And you know what? I offer up spiritual sacrifice. My prayers are sacrifices. My praise is a sacrifice. My witness is a sacrifice. My very life is a sacrifice to God Almighty. You don't belong to yourself anymore. You don't belong. You know what a sacrifice is? It's something offered for death. Yes, sir. When they went out there and picked the best bullock out of the herd, boy, that fellow said, I want to keep that one for breeding purposes. No. Where's that supposed to go? It goes to God. It goes to God. Take the very best one. Pick it out. Boy, it doesn't have spot or it's not blemished. There's not a mark on that thing. Absolutely beautiful. What'd you pick it out for? Death. When you offer your body a living sacrifice, you offer your death to self. Any desires, any wishes, any future you might have. He made us kings and priests. We offer sacrifice unto God. One of the sacrifices is Romans 12, chapter 1. Our bodies, a living sacrifice. Not only our praise, not only our mouth, not only our heart, our prayers, not only our worship, not only our money, not only our time. Man, he wants you. So many times we think God's interested in a work and we get all desirous and working over things in the work. And yes, God is. But sometimes God's more interested in the workman than he is the work. And therefore he bypasses what the workman wants him to do in the work in order to do a work in a workman. Amen? Y'all follow me on that one? Sometimes God Almighty bypasses the work that the workman wants done in order that he might do a work in the workman. Okay? You're not only a soldier in a great battle doing battle for the Lord, you are a battlefield yourself that God is working in. God's interested in character, and sometimes he has to let you fail in the work you want to do, believe you ought to do, even as Moses. Moses saw the work of God. Moses realized he was the man for the work of God. And Moses stepped out to do the work of God, and God let him fail. And then God let him sit on the backside of a desert for 40 years. Till he got to the place that he couldn't do the work of God. Now Moses was 40, a man mighty in word and deed. He said, I can do it, man. I'm ready. God said, no, you're not ready for me. You're not ready the way I want you ready. Okay, Lord, I'm going to go do it. He went out to do it, but he didn't do it. Man, here this man mighty in word and deed spends his life as a shepherd herding somebody else's sheep for 40 years. Didn't even have his own flock. What do you think about that? Now, Jay, you want a business for yourself. You know, old Moses was 40 years old, had to go out and herd sheep for somebody else. Didn't even have any of his own. When he left them, he didn't leave much. Just a wife and a couple of kids, and he halfway carried them along. But you know something? God Almighty is interested in character. He's interested in the man as well as the ministry. And sometimes you and I think God's so interested in the ministry, he'll overlook the man. Don't kid yourself. God's building you. I see young preachers go out and think about Billy and Rossi and Sylvia and others going out, Brent and some of these young ones here, and I see them doing the work for God. Boy, they're doing good work. Oh, how God's going to break them. The patience is going to be there. Oh, they're going to want to do something good and right and big. And they look and say, boy, you know, I want to accomplish something for God. And God's sitting there just frustrating us. And allowing them to be frustrated and working in it the whole time. I look back at myself. I've always wanted everything done yesterday. Never want to wait tomorrow. I don't want to wait 3 months to build work. Let's do it today. Let's go. You know? Let's hurry up and get it done. When we get through this, let's do something else. That's my life. But you know, I've learned over the years that God Almighty is interested in building me. In growing me. He's not through with me yet. Some of you think he ought to have been through with me a long time ago, probably. He ought to cast me off or shelved me or dropped me down a hole somewhere or broken me somewhere down the line. He's broken me a few times. Yes, he has. He'll probably break me again. I never did like being broken. But at any rate, he'll probably do it because, you see, God is still interested in me. Amen. And building me. And he is in you. I'm tell you what. I'm a king and I'm a priest. And I'm going to be a king and a priest. And I'm going to reign on this earth. That's what it says right there. And made us unto our God, it says, hath redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred, tongue, people, and nation. Those 24 elders represent all of redeemed humanity. That much I know. Probably 12 of them represent Israel, and probably 12 of them represent the rest of mankind. But at any rate, as they're there around the throne of God, as a representative of all redeemed humanity, out of every kindred, nation, tongue, and people that there are on the face of the earth, you see, that's exactly what God's doing right now in the church. You're not going to win everybody to Jesus. God never expected you to win everybody to Jesus. It's not your job to win everybody to Jesus. It's your job to witness to the whole world. God Almighty is going to save some out of every kindred and tribe and tongue around the world. Fantastic. That's who they make up right there. We shall reign on the earth. We're coming back here to reign. Somebody said, we're reigning now. I said, man, your idea of reigning and mine sure different. He said, well, the devil's chained now. I said, he's sure got a long chain. Your idea of him being chained and my idea of him being chained sure different, I'll tell you for sure. You and I understand things a whole lot different. I'll tell you what, the church isn't reigning. She's being whipped all over the place. You look at this church rich and increased with goods and think she has need of nothing. Says she has need of nothing and knows not. Jesus said she's blind, miserable, naked, and poor. Wretched. I'll tell you what, you see things different than I do. No, sir. We shall reign on the face of the earth. I'll tell you what, nothing that takes place from chapter 4 all the way through to chapter 22, except some of it, and about chapter 12, has ever taken place yet. It's all future. There's a few things in chapter 12 that have already taken place. But the rest of what we're talking about is future, yet to come. It hasn't happened yet. And this right here is looking forward to the future. John is placed in the Spirit future, and he sees this, and he hears this song of praise, as they thank God for their redemption, as they praise God, Jesus, for what he is, and that what he's going to do for them, made us unto our God kings and priests, and we are a royal priesthood at this present time, and we shall future reign on the earth. Verse 11. And I beheld and I heard the voice of many angels around about the throne and the beast and the elders. And the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands. That's a million and more. That's a bunch of angels. How many angels God got? I don't know. I've never figured it out. How many stars God got? I haven't the slightest idea. But the angels are spoken of as stars in several places. And Satan, when he rebelled, Lucifer, rather, when he rebelled, the anointed cherub that covered the throne of God, when he fell and he rebelled, he took a third of the stars of heaven with him. How many has the devil got? He's got a slew, man. He's got a crowd that won't quit, but doesn't have many as God's got. And his aren't as powerful as God's are. Tell you what. God Almighty's got it down. It's going to come right. Why does God allow things to be like they are? He's got a reason. I believe three things about God. God Almighty is all-powerful. God Almighty is all-knowing. And God Almighty is ever-present. I believe the Bible teaches us all three of them. Given that one, God is all-powerful, omnipotent. In the omnipotence of God, God Almighty could have destroyed Satan at any moment in time past and could this very moment with the Word destroy him. So God has a purpose. And I must by faith trust that purpose. Okay? I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne and the beasts and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, Worthy is the Lamb. Now look, we've got the beast, the cherubim and the seraphim. We've got redeemed humanity. And we've got all these angels, all of them singing, Worthy is the Lamb. That's a good thing to get on, man. Worthy is the Lamb. You just can't go wrong bragging on Jesus. You just can't go wrong praising Jesus. That's what they're going to do in heaven. Doesn't hurt you to do it right down here. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches, wisdom, strength, honor, glory, and blessing. Now look with me real, Daniel chapter 7, about verses 9 through 14. Daniel chapter 7, let's read a few verses. 9 through 14. And I beheld till the thrones were cast down, and the Ancient of Days did sit, whose garment was white as snow. Hey, I've read somebody like that before, haven't I? Seemed like I read about a fellow like that in Revelation somewhere. Chapter 1. And his hair and his head were pure wool. That sounds familiar too. His throne was like a fiery flame. And his wheels as burning fire. Hey, Jay, how about those wheels you were having problems with over in Ezekiel?
Burning fire.
His throne was like a fiery flame and his wheels. Wheels within a wheel. Or as a burning flame. There's your wheels on the throne of God. And a fiery stream issued and came forth from before him. Thousand thousands. That's a bunch. What is a thousand thousand? Isn't that a million? A thousand thousand is a million, isn't it? So a thousand thousand is a million. It says thousand thousands. Millions. Millions ministered unto him. Served him, praised him, loved him, worshipped him, did his service. And 10,000 times 10,000. Hey, that's a crowd. 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. And judgment was set. Ooh, look what he's talking about, man. And the books. I have those books again. You sit around those books. You study out all those books and give it to me straight one of these days, all right? And the books were open. There's several different kinds, and not just one or two or